Welcome to CBC Next. I'm here with Claire Cottrell, and we're at seminary in Parchment Valley today, and we have been in class all day, and it started with like 4 hours of sitting around a circle and sharing of what God's doing in our lives, and that is uncomfortable for me. I was exhausted after sitting around and just, you know, emotions can wear me down, but it was awesome, and it's good to have that. So this Sunday, we talked about comfort, and I've already been uncomfortable today. So
I was thinking how interesting that we're going through this very emotional learning process as you're also preaching through emotions.
It's been a great time together. So Claire's been, I asked her to talk to us a little bit today about comfort and what she's learned and what God is teaching her through scripture about this subject of comfort. It sounds like a good thing, right? We all want to be comfortable.
Right.
There's a joke with Tori and I. I've owned like 6 recliners like in the past like 7 years. I just cannot find one that doesn't hurt me. But maybe God's just trying to tell me something, right? I'm just not allowed to be comfortable like
that. You're
telling
on your age a little
bit. Yes, exactly right. My sciatica. But what's God speaking to your heart about?
Yeah. Well, first, I just want to say you did a great job with this topic. I think you covered comfort so thoroughly and biblically, and so I commend you on that. And one of the things I really loved in your sermon was how you talked about how Jesus lived a life of such discomfort.
Right.
And if the goal of Christian discipleship is to become like Jesus, which we both think it is, right?
Yeah, right.
Then we should also expect that we will live very uncomfortable lives, right? You did a great job covering that. And so I was just thinking from a pastoral standpoint, church standpoint, Western world standpoint, if we have suggested as churches that we can follow Jesus while also holding on to our worldly comforts, I think we have grossly misrepresented what it means to be a Christian.
Absolutely.
Right?
It's funny. I just literally, like 10 minutes ago, saw a picture of a man carrying a cross, and it had training wheels down
at
the
bottom. I knew what you were going to say.
And it's just, like, I've seen people act that out before, and it can be beautiful and really, like, stir in you. But this dude didn't want it to
it
be hard
really
at all.
It can really cheapen the picture,
right?
Yeah, and like what Jesus did. Yeah, and you think about what it means to be Christian. Like, what does the word Christian mean? It means little Christ, you know? Like, the goal for the Christian is to live in Jesus, abide in Jesus, and become like him. And I loved you mentioned in different words, like, Jesus's invitation was not, hey, come mentally assent to this set of doctrinal beliefs, sign your name that you believe it, and then all is well.
Yeah.
That wasn't his invitation. His invitation was, hey, come count the cost of following me.
Yeah.
It's a heavy cost.
Right.
And then pick up your cross and follow me.
Yeah.
You know, and I just think we've really misrepresented that. And so according to Jesus, to live as a Christian, to live as a follower of him, is to live a very costly, very uncomfortable life. And then I was thinking about, as I was reading through your sermon notes and things, I was thinking about that time that a teacher of the law came up to Jesus and was like, I want to follow you. And Jesus is like, okay, great, but you should know I don't even have anywhere to lay my head.
Right.
You know, like, I mean, I can't think of a single earthly comfort that Jesus had. Can
Absolutely,
you?
No, right,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, he was just stripped of all of that. And he was very upfront about it, which is why I think it's great that you're doing this. Like, you're being honest with the church about this is what it means.
Sometimes it's easy for us to glaze over that. We just want people to accept Christ, want them to accept Christ. And and it is hard to balance how big it is. It is simple, but it's big.
Yes.
And you see that disconnect even with the disciples pre the cross. And then post the cross.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, Jesus is saying all these things, and Peter's like, no, you don't have to go to the cross. You don't have to, don't wash my feet, all these things. And then they see him die on a cross.
Yes.
And then they're like, oh, he was serious about all this stuff. And then after that, they're radically changed in
really
resurrection and all that kind of stuff. But
and we get to see from that standpoint.
Yes, right.
Of post cross and resurrection. Right. And I'm grateful the scriptures tell us that when Jesus presented the cost of discipleship, it tells us a lot of people were just like, okay, no thanks.
Right.
This is not the life for me. And then there were other people who were like, okay, yes, I still want to do this.
Right.
And then a little ways down the road, they were like, oh, actually, no, I do want my comforts back. And so they turn back. But one of my favorite stories in the Gospels that just encourages me so much on this topic is when Jesus was gaining a large following and things started to get pretty difficult for him and for his followers. And it says a large number of his followers turned back.
Yeah.
Which is understandable. In other terms, they wanted to go back to a comfortable life. But what I think is true for us is that if we will stay the course with Jesus, if we'll keep walking the costly, uncomfortable road with him, eventually we will be like the 12.
Right.
We will get to the crossroads, because when all those people turned back and decided not to follow Jesus anymore, he came to his 12 and he was like, what about you?
Right.
Do you want to go back to? Do you want to go back to your life of comfort? And I think about what Peter said on behalf of the 12. Do you remember that? He said, Lord, to whom would we go?
Where are we going?
Where else would we go? Right. You have the words of eternal life. And I just think that's true for us. It is costly to follow Jesus, and it is very uncomfortable to follow him. But if we stay the course, and if we really connect ourselves to him and abide in him, eventually we're going to get to the place where we look back at the option of our very comfortable worldly life and like, why would we go back there? Lord, where else would we go? You have eternal life. Yeah. You are everything we need.
Absolutely. And that's so that's the difference of a living a comfortable life where we won't step out and won't do anything that sounds hard. But then also, like you just said, there comes a point though where we look around and we're like, oh wait, the yoke is easy. The burden is light. And those things that I don't have, I didn't need.
Amen.
And I have everything I need. And so yeah, it's really, it's neat how those balances.
And I okay, I think you're exposing something really cool. Because when I was thinking about these comforts that we hold on to, the worldly comforts, they're all false comforts, aren't they?
Yes.
Like, they're all counterfeits
of
the real thing that God is trying to offer. Because it's not like God says, I hope you never have any comfort in life.
Right.
He offers himself as comfort, right? Like, he calls himself the comforter. The Holy Spirit is the comforter. And so it's not that God does not want us to have any comfort in life.
Right.
It's that he wants us to have the truest, realest, most lasting and abundant comfort.
Absolutely.
Like, I don't, when you think about worldly comforts that people hold on to, what are some of the things that come to mind for you?
Let's see. Let's see. One of the biggest things, I think, is, and especially in our Western culture, I think, and being to other parts of the world, you see people very much hold on to their stuff.
Yes.
And where I've been to Cuba, and people just bring stuff to share, and they share their house, and it's everybody's stuff. And I think we're stuff people, and it's hard to let go of that stuff. And and I'm not exempt as a, you know, a pastor. You know, these things still... I still like to have the newest phone or the, you know, and to ask ourselves, maybe I could, this big sacrifice, right, to not have the brand new phone, right? But maybe I could wait and do something different, more powerful, more lasting with that. That's a big thing. Time is another big one too. We like to be able to do everything, and it's just simply not possible. We cannot do everything. No, so that means we have to make sacrifices. And some of those are hard. Some of those are things that we want to do, but they're not always, it's always the, are often the, between the good and the best. You know, sometimes we have to choose what's best and what's lasting and what's most impactful. What about you? What do you think?
A lot of the things you're saying, I think we cling to relationships for comfort a lot, earthly relationships, material items for sure. I think we just had this American dream of a home, a cozy, comfortable home, and a certain number in the bank account that makes us comfortable, you know? And as we're thinking about those things, it's like every one of them could be taken from
us. Absolutely, yeah.
Every one of them could fail us.
And was for early Christians, right?
Yes,
and,
Yeah, it could be stripped from us in a heartbeat. And so I just, like, I'm just thinking through these things that we think are the source of comfort, and God is like,
yeah, right.
You think those things are secure. They could be gone in the blink of an eye.
Right.
He will not leave.
Yeah.
His comfort cannot be taken
come
from
to
us.
Me. You know,
all like,
your burden heavy laden.
Right. Yeah. He is offering us the better, deeper, more lasting comfort that I think our souls are actually searching for. It's just a shame that we're clinging to these counterfeit gods when there is a better option available.
I think you see that too, as people get older, and sometimes there's it seems like as Christian people get older, there's one or another way that things happen, and it's there's a big gulf in between. You see either people become the sweetest and most amazing people that you've ever met in your whole entire life, or the meanest and the harshest people you ever and I think it has to do with what we build our lives upon. And when work is no longer there, and we don't have that filling us, and we don't have that purpose anymore, we become bitter. They hand us a watch at 40 years or whatever, and then we're done.
Yeah.
Or even our kids. You know, our kids grow up, and they don't need us as much anymore. I've got a 16 and a 14-year-old, and I've gotten to that point in life where it hurts for me to look at the pictures of them for like at 4 years old.
Yeah.
Like it is a grieving thing.
Sure.
And my kids are awesome. But as I get older and as that continues to happen, it's just going to get a harder and harder thing.
Yeah.
And if I build my whole entire life on that, I'm going to become that bitter grandfather that says, you know, my kids never call me and never talk to me and and I'm mad at them.
What's your source of joy
right,
anymore
yes,
when they've
right.
gone to college or to work right. or whatever? Yeah.
And then you have that other side again, the sweet people that just are grateful.
Yes.
And just I have some ladies in our church and some men too that just, when I leave their presence, I am, I know they probably feel like I'm there to encourage them, but I leave feeling so encouraged and just like, appreciated and like I could take on the world. And you have those other people that they just want to take, you know?
Right.
And so I think that's a big, what we're talking about here is really foundations of what we build our life upon. And there's some that sink and stand and some that will last. And,
and
just because it's the right thing doesn't mean it's going to be the easy thing or the comfortable thing.
For sure. For sure. I was thinking about the Beatitudes when you started mentioning comfort to me. Because you think about the Beatitudes. So it's like they all start blessed, which means happy.
Yeah.
Are just some of them. The poor in spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Those who are mourning.
Right.
The meek. Those who are hungering and thirsting for more.
Mm-hmm.
None of those are comfortable situations.
No. Right. Absolutely.
And what Jesus is saying is like true happiness and true joy comes to those who are in uncomfortable situations.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking through that. Like, why is that? And I think it's because when we are emptied of the comforts of the world, that's when we're actually positioned to receive God's true comfort and his true joy and happiness. You know, that's what happened for all the categories of people that are listed in the Beatitudes. And so when we can finally relinquish control on all those things we are clinging to for comfort and stability and security and all of that, that's when we're really ready to receive the fullness of comfort and joy, happiness that God really wants to give his children. I believe he wants that.
Yes,
I think he wants
absolutely.
Us to be happy
and
joyful and blessed.
In him.
And it comes when we let go of the things of the world and really cling to what only he can provide.
I don't remember the church father that said that, I can't remember the name, but my heart is restless until I find rest in you. And we would say in restlessness, we're uncomfortable, but many times we push that down and fill it with other things. And it's there and it's consuming things. But only when we find that rest in him, we'll find lasting, eternal comfort that you know, stand the test of time.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what Jesus modeled for us,
right? Yeah.
We saw the anguish in him that came with the discomfort,
right?
That the cries of agony, but then we also see this like shalom peace, the wholeness that really comes from like being in God's purpose and walking the costly, uncomfortable life.
I'm sure this is true of your life as well, but the scariest times, the times when I was the most uncomfortable, where I felt like God was calling me to do something, are the times where I actually have surrendered. Let's not talk about the times maybe that I missed the boat or things like that. Right. Yeah. But those times are the best decisions I've ever made in my entire life. When I said, God, I'm scared to death. But anyway.
Yes.
And that's uncomfortable.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean it's bad.
Right.
That's our, you know, dichotomy. We like to say if it's not easy, then it's bad. But anything that is worth having takes value and it comes at a cost and sacrifice and faith isn't any different than that.
Yes. Yeah. Just like you, the times I have most seen God's provision in my life are the times when I was absolutely scared to death to do what he was asking me to do.
Yeah.
And that's when I've experienced the depths of his peace and his presence and his empowerment.
Right.
It was, in those times when he said, I want you to do this. And I was like, there's no way.
Yeah.
I can't. I'm not equipped, you know? And he was like, I'll show you,
know? It's harder too, I feel like, for me, as I get older, I was a little bit quicker to do those things when I was 22 years old, you know, or 26 years old. But now I've got a mortgage, you know, or now kids.
People depending on you.
Yes, right. Yes, yeah. And it does get scarier. And I want to be someone that still is willing to listen when he says go or mm-hmm. stop or mm-hmm. whatever those things may be, and allow myself to be uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. But
yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah, because there are materialistic concerns that yeah, come right. with following Jesus into an uncomfortable life. But also I think there are like relational concerns. Yes. Like I think about a lot of the things, uncomfortable things God mm-hmm. has asked me to do. My big fear is, what will people say?
Yeah.
What will right. they think of
sure.
me? How is the rest of the world going to perceive this?
Right.
Because I've just been so consumed with people pleasing yeah. and wanting people to affirm me and,
right.
you know, say like, yeah, go Claire, you're doing yeah. the right thing. And it's like, what if they don't?
Right.
What if people don't get it? And you're only living in the affirmation of the Lord. Will it yeah. be enough?
And as pastors, we, our job is who we are more than the mailman, you know, or the CEO. It's hard for us to disconnect Go Claire in a ministry sense and Go Claire in a personal sense. Those two things.
It's who I am, right?
Like, right, yeah, yeah. Right. And that's how it should be. But when we have to step in a situation where we might displease people in a ministry sense and people aren't happy with us in that way, that's personal for me,
yeah.
even if they don't even mean it that way. So that's a hard thing to, you know, that we can struggle with.
Mm-hmm.
But
absolutely.
People pleasing is something we all, you know, we all
yeah.
have.
That's a comfort I cling to, is
yes,
other people's
right.
approval, affirmation,
yeah, right, yeah.
words of encouragement.
Right.
It's like, that's a comfort that mm-hmm. I really thrive on.
Yeah.
That just doesn't always align
right.
with gospel living.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What else? Do you have anything to close us out?
You know, the last thing I was thinking was about the Chronicles of Narnia. Mm-hmm. When I think about comfort, I think about this scene in the book, in the movie, The Chronicles of Narnia by C.S. Lewis. There's the lion, Aslan, that
right.
is representative of Jesus
mm-hmm.
in the movie. And there's some kids that are going to meet the lion,
right.
and they're very nervous
mm-hmm.
about it before they meet him. And I love the part when Lucy, the little girl, was talking to Mr. Beaver about Aslan before she meets him. And Lucy asks, is Aslan safe?
Mm.
And Mr. Beaver says, safe? Who said anything about safe?
Yeah.
Of course he's not safe, but he's good.
Right.
He's the
yep.
king, I tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And that has just meant so much to me.
Yeah.
Life with God will
right.
not be safe in worldly mm-hmm. terms. Following Jesus will not be comfortable. It will not be safe. I can't say that he's safe in a worldly sense,
right,
but he's good,
yeah,
and
absolutely.
He's the king, I
yeah.
tell you. And
that's
so I
awesome.
just, I cling to that a lot. He's
yeah.
good.
Mm-hmm.
We will find comfort in him
yeah.
when we truly let go of the things of the world. I think we'll really find the comfort that our hearts are looking for.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Thanks so much, Claire, for
yeah.
sharing with us.
Thanks for inviting me.
We have her coming in November
yeah.
for Together Night, so we're excited for that. She's been studying for, I don't know, over a year probably, mm-hmm. and going to continue just about practices and how we interact with our faith, because this stuff doesn't happen on accident.
No, and it doesn't happen overnight.
It doesn't happen
Not
overnight, and it's a constant. I've heard Sisyphus, you know, the story of the dude pushing. I've heard him referenced like over and over again for like 2 months, and I don't know why, but it can feel like that with our spiritual walk sometimes, where we like get rolling, and then something happens, and we're oh, here's a new thing to push up the hill.
Yep,
and.
Yep.
But it shouldn't be like that
right.
necessarily. It's a wonderful thing, and it's a lifelong thing, like you mentioned.
It is.
So we're going to study that at Together Nights in November. So be looking forward to that. But thank you so much for speaking with us today
time.
Out in this beautiful setting.
So, you're doing a great job in this series,
yeah,
and I think your church
thank you
is
so
really
much.
Being blessed by it.
Amen. All right. We'll see you next time.
Bye.